భద్రం కర్ణే విశృణుయామదేవాః భద్రం పశ్యేమాక్షభిర్యజత్రాః స్థిరైరంగైస్తుష్టువాగుంసస్తనూభిః యశేమదేవహితం యదాయుః స్వస్తి న ఇంద్రో వృద్ధశ్రవాః స్వస్తి న పూషా విశ్వవేదాః స్వస్తి నస్తార్క్ష్యో అరిష్టనేమిః స్వస్తి నో బృహస్పతిర్దధాతు ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః హరిః ఓం ఓం. May we, O gods, hear with our ears what is auspicious. May we, O worshipful gods, see with our eyes what alone is good. May we, strong in limbs and body, sing your praise and enjoy the life allotted to us by Prajapati. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the first section of the third Mundaka. We have almost come to the end of this first section. In our last class, we have been dealing with the seventh mantra, Brihachatat Divyam Achintya Rupam Sukshmat Cha Tat Sukshmataram Vibhati Durat Sudure Tadihantike Cha Pashyant ఇహ ఏవ నిహితం గుహాయాం. ఇన్ ది ప్రీవియస్ మంత్రాస్ ది రిషి హూ హ్యాస్ బీన్ గివింగ్ అస్ దిస్ సుప్రీమ్ నాలెడ్జ్ పరాజ్ఞానం హ్యాస్ బీన్ టెల్లింగ్ ఎవ్రీ సాధక స్పిరిచువల్ ఆస్పైరెంట్ మస్ట్ ఎక్వైర్ సర్టెన్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్స్ హీ మస్ట్ బి ట్రూత్ఫుల్ బికాస్ ది పాత్ టు గాడ్స్ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ టు గాడ్ వెదర్ man wants to go to heaven or man wants to go to brahmaloka or man wants to attain god realization the only path even for happiness in this world the only path is one must be truthful and Sri Ramakrishna had emphasized this truthfulness to such an extent he said only through truthfulness is the greatest tapasya only through truthfulness man can attain god and it is said in the scriptures also that such a person who observes truthfulness whatever he thinks and whatever he utters that will come absolutely true such a person is so beautifully described in these upanishads satya kamaha an untrue desire never arises even by mistake there is no mistake there in such a purified mind and whatever desire arises it must be fulfilled satya kamaha satya sankalpaha whatever he desires it will come true so this is what we have been talking here that is why those who want their desires secular as well as spiritual must take recourse to such a great soul, under such a great soul, surrender himself to him, serve him, and thereby, whatever be his desires, they will all be fulfilled. That is why Sri Ramakrishna used to say very often, my children, you do not need to ask me anything. It is like all the property belonging to the parents automatically, naturally, goes to the children. Now what does Sri Ramakrishna mean by this wealth of the parents? In worldly people's case, it is worldly wealth. But Sri Ramakrishna was a divine person. So divine knowledge, divine qualities, that is his wealth. And his children will get a share of it. But lest we should think that we will all get, we have to be extremely cautious that we have to strive to to become his children. Then how do we know? Like the Rishi, who could claim not as a slave, not as a servant, not as a beggar, I have been following the life of truthfulness and dharma. So I am not begging you. I am demanding you. I am commanding you. Remove the curtain that separates me and you. And that beautiful prayer we have seen in the Isavasya Upanishad. Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Apihitam Mukham Tattvam Poshan Apavrunu Satya Dharmaya Drishtaye. We have to earn by sincerely practicing spiritual disciplines as indicated, directed by our Guru, and then only we will have that tremendous feeling of authority. Sri Ramakrishna also used to say, there was a young man, he was the son of a rich jamindar, and one day he waylaid his mother's army, which was carrying a huge amount of treasure. And simply like a robber, he robbed the whole thing. Sri Ramakrishna was explaining. He knows, nobody will fight with me because they all know I am one of the true claimants. I am a real son of this queen. That is why nobody can stop me, nobody will stop me. That authority, that self-confidence, I have been doing my best to be the child of Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother. And how do we know that we have become? Because that unquestioning, undoubting certitude will come. Then we can demand, I am your child, will you give me my property or not? This is what we have to understand, that satya. And when a person takes to truthfulness, every other quality must join together. So austerity, then brahmacharya, then samyak jnana. What is samyak jnana? In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which we have undertaken in our last class, that says samyak jnana is that knowledge through which real knowledge is obtained. That means, simply speaking, we must behave as if we are already possessed of that knowledge. That means, as if we are going to be saints. So, by understanding that we have to become saints, if we want to become saints, we have to tread the path followed by the saints. We must go through the same procedure that they have gone through, and then we are going to become saints. In fact, Vedanta goes to the length. We are not going to be saints. We are already saints. But in order to remove that misapprehension, we are not already saints, we have to remove that curtain. That process of removing the curtain, which is called ignorance, is called developing spiritual qualities. So, satya, brahmacharya, tapasya and samyajnana have been outlined in our past mantras, which we have seen elaborately. Then, in the 7th mantra, what is it that a person is aiming at? To know his own true nature. And what is his true nature? It is, we are none other than Brahman, Paramatma. But I have every other knowledge, accepting that I am God. I am a human being, I am a mosquito, I am a tree, I am a mountain. This is the type of knowledge we all have. Don't think that only human beings know they are human beings. A plant knows I am a plant, a mosquito knows I am a mosquito, and the egos of these plant, animal, dog, cat, mosquito, they are no less than a human being's ego. How do we know? You lift your hand, even in front of a mosquito, it simply flies away, or it is telling in its mosquito language, don't dare to kill me. Don't you know? I am a mosquito. I am a wonderful creature of God. God himself created me. Do not try to exterminate me. Otherwise, I will try my best to exterminate you. Do really mosquitoes exterminate you? Not once. If you study history, several times mosquitoes have been carriers. willing, probably, I don't know, to that wiped off human beings through plagues and other things. Mosquitoes carry many types of diseases and they are more vicious than even wild animals because they do not kill outright. They will create so many diseases, which is a living hell. Man lives for a long time and suffers a long time intensely and inexplicably. Okay, coming back to our subject, this is what the seventh mantra of the Mundaka Upanishad is telling. What is the nature of that ultimate truth, ultimate reality? Call it God, call it Brahman, call it Ishvara, call it Allah, call it Nirvana, call it Kingdom of Heaven, by whatever name we call it. Brihatshatat, it is huge. In our last class, I explained, huge is a neuter noun, which doesn't undergo any of the other cases. That means it is infinite. Tat divyam, it is self-luminous. Div means to shine. Self-luminous, it is of the nature of compared to light. Why? There is a special characteristic of light. Not only it reveals itself, it reveals everything else. First it reveals itself. As soon as we see even a spark, instantaneously we recognize in a vast density of darkness, as soon as we see a single spark, immediately our consciousness is drawn to it. And we say, here is a spark. Though not only it reveals itself, if it is sufficiently powerful, it can reveal things around it according to its capacity. This is the meaning of divyam. It is self-luminous. That means no other pramana, no other means is necessary. It is self-revealing. Accepting the Atman, everything is anatma. That means, as an example, here is a table. You cannot ask a table, who are you? It is only a living, conscious, aware being who declares, here is an object, I call it a table. The table itself doesn't know it is being called, neither does it know I am a table. So, it is only that Paramatma, pure consciousness, which is Swayam Prakashaha, it is self-luminous, it also reveals everything else, and it is Achintya Rupam. It's impossible to even to think about it, to imagine about it. That's why it is said, it is beyond mind, beyond words, and beyond everything. Namo Namo Prabhu, Vakya Mana Atita. And yet, a doubt might come, if it is beyond mind, how do we know it exists? Because the revelation of everything that we cognize, we recognize, we know, here is a table, here is a person, here is a plant, anything that is possible only when we are conscious. If we are unconscious, we don't know whether we are there, much less what is all around us. So, that consciousness is the key. But how do you describe it? Because an object can be described. Whatever is described by law is limited. And the Atman is unlimited, infinite. Therefore, it is impossible to describe for many reasons. One reason is, when there is only one, not many, not even two, it is unnecessary to describe because description is only to separate two objects, that is that object, this is this object. If there is only one, there is no need to separate them. Secondly, there is no need to think about it. Thirdly, it is completely unnecessary and who is going to do it? The one doesn't do it because it is beyond the mind, beyond the speech. And therefore, it cannot be attained by any amount of action too. That's why it is Achintya Rupam. But then, how can one know about it? Sri Ramakrishna has a wonderful way of saying. Oh, many times in the Gospel we come across, Sri Ramakrishna is giving teaching to devotees and he always makes sure whenever M is present, that he listens attentively and then he asks sometimes questions to understand whether M has really grasped what Sri Ramakrishna had said. So, did you understand this? M says, yes, this is what you said. Sri Ramakrishna was pleased. Then he issues a statement. It is by mother's grace, it is by God's grace, you understood it. Right understanding comes only by God's grace. In this case also, if that reality is beyond mind, how do we understand it? Only by God's grace. And further descriptions are sukshmat tat sukshmataram, the subtler than the subtlest. That means what? It is the beyond ken of both the sense organs as well as the mind. Therefore, that which can never be even known, excepting that something exists, a very vague knowledge, it is impossible to put it under the scrutiny of the intellect. Here also something very nice logical point we have to understand. Whatever can be understood by the buddhi, that falls far below the capacity of the intellect. That means intellect is greater and that object is smaller. If God can be grasped by the intellect, then that intellect is more of a God and God is more of a inferior something. Therefore, that division, that mistake should never be made. So he says, sukshmatcha tat sukshmataram, but all the time, in and through every experience, vibhati, vividham bhati, it is manifesting through every thought, through every word, through every object, through every experience. Prati bhava viditam, as Kena Upanishad says, every thought is revealed only by that divine light. Otherwise, even we do not know what the thought is. And thought is impossible without the aid, support of that pure consciousness. So first, it supports the mind in the form of thought. Then it reveals also, oh, such and such a thought is going through my mind. Durat sudure. It is further than the furthest. Shankara interprets it as, for the ignorant person, as if it is long distance. That means it is not available. But for the wise person, where is it? Iha antikecha, closer than the closest. That means what? Closer means not that besides me, immediately touching my body, there is something. That's not the meaning. Closer means closest. Closest means I am that. That is me. That is the meaning of closer than the closest, nearer than the nearest. So how do we know? There are some people who have dedicated, surrendered themselves to God, and by God's grace, they have been given that buddhi. Dhiyo yonaha prachodaya. Pashyanti iha eva guhayam nihitam. Guha means here a purified intellect, buddhi. Purified intellect means that will not put any obstruction between itself and that knowledge. That buddhi itself assumes the form of that spiritual knowledge by the grace of God. That's why Sri Ramakrishna used to say, pure mind and pure Atman are exactly one and the same. So where is that Atman? There is nothing excepting the Atman. Inside is the Atman, outside the Atman, everywhere there is nothing but Atman. But some people are there, they have surrendered themselves to God, and out of His infinite grace, God or the Atman reveals itself to such a sincere, surrendered soul, and they see. What do they see? They see that they do not exist. Whatever is nothing but Brahman. Whatever they see, whatever they hear, whatever they smell, taste, touch, everything is nothing but that God. That Brahman shines forth, vast, self-luminous, inconceivable, subtler than the subtlest. He is far beyond what is far, and yet here, very near at hand, verily he is seen here, dwelling in the cave of the heart of every conscious being, and there are rishis who have understood where is that Atman everywhere. Who am I then? I am that Atman. What is this world? That's also nothing but the Atma. Earlier we have seen, Dhanargrihitva Upanishadam Mahastram Saram Hi Upasa Nishitam Sandhayita. And then earlier also in Kathopanishad we have seen, Drishyate Tu Agreya Buddhya Sukshmaya Sukshmadarsibhi. That Atman can be realized by people whose intellects have become extremely subtle. That means they removed all impurities. That means they became perfect like clean mirrors, and in which mirror the Atman shines without the least bit of extortion, what is called defilement, impurity. So that is the way, and this is the meaning of that seventh mantra we have seen in our last class. Now we are moving on to the eighth mantra. Same, reflecting the same idea, it is further than the furthest distance, nearer than the nearest, it is extremely subtle, and yet it has to be seen. Can I see it through my eyes? Can I hear this through my ears? Can any sense organ give me that knowledge? Can I talk about it? Can I hold it in my hand? Can I reach it through my legs? It is not possible, either through the senses of the actions or senses of the knowledge or the mind. But remember, when we say mind cannot grasp it, an impure mind cannot grasp it, but a pure mind definitely can grasp it. How does it grasp it? Just by being pure. It becomes, as just now as I mentioned, like a pure mirror, and you don't need to do anything. If any object is there in front of a good clean mirror, you don't need to do anything and or request to the mirror, now there is an object here, would you kindly reflect this object? There is no need. Whatever is there in front, it reflects it. If it is impure, it reflects it in a distorted way. If it is pure, exactly as it is. And that is the definition of yoga. Yogaha chitta vritti nirodaha. Yoga is to become perfectly like a clean mirror. And tada, when the mind becomes so pure, drashtu swarupe avasthanam. When the mind completely becomes identified with drashta. All the time, I was thinking, I am the subject, everything else is the object. But now I know, accepting the subject me, nothing else exists. And that subjectivity also disappears in course of time. Simply, I am. That knowledge alone will be there. So in this eighth mantra, na chakshusha grihyate, na pi vacha, na anyaihi devaihi tapasa karmanava jnana prasadena vishuddha sattvaha tatastu tam pashyate nishkalam dhyayamanaha. Earlier mantra might give the wrong impression. It is impossible to know about the Atman because the person who is seeking that Atman, it is not an object, himself. They say, in our Vedantic literature, there is a deer. It is called musk deer. And beautiful, enchanting, mesmerizing smell, perfume is emanating from its own navel. But the poor animal, not knowing it, was on roaming here and there, and many times it dies in its quest. It is a very apt illustration. That's why all great people, they speak, they sing about this aspect. Kabir Das, many times as I quoted, Moko, a murkha, a foolish person, ignorant person. Kaha dhunde re bande, where are you searching for me, O slave? Mai to tere paas me ho. I am just near at hand. Of course, this is mystical language, near and far. Near means you are searching not some object which is nearby to you. You are searching yourself. I am none other than your own self. That is why even Kathopanishad says, Avrutta Chakshuho Amrutatva Mishyan Kaschid Dhiraha. Some wise person understood it by God's grace and he closes his eyes and then turns his sight inward so that all the time, my darling, you are within me. I have been searching in hills and dales and valleys, Swami Vivekananda writes. And at last, when I am despaired, a beautiful voice comes. My friend, where are you searching? Look within. I am always within you. In fact, the searcher is none other than my own self. Do not think you are searching. It is me assuming the form of you, or you are searching me. I am only searching myself. So, extending that idea in this 8th mantra, Chakshusa Nagrihyate. Brahman is not, cannot be grasped by the eye, nor by speech, nor by any other sense organs, nor by penance, nor good works. A man becomes pure through serenity of intellect. Thereupon, in meditation, he beholds him who is without parts. Chakshusha Nagrihyate. Here is a law. Many times I have mentioned it. Whatever we see is not I. That means whatever I experience is not Atman. Whatever I hear is not Atman. Whatever I smell is not Atman. Whatever I taste is not Atman. Whatever I touch is not Atman. What does it mean? It means through these 5 sense organs, we are experiencing, and what we experience only through these 5 sense organs. There is no other means of experience, instrument of experience. Only these 5 sense organs. Whatever we are experiencing, that is not me. That is not I. Here, I means Atman, pure consciousness, which is called variously Drik, the seer, the knower, the experiencer, the witness. All these names, synonymous names, Samanadhikaranya, pure consciousness is the only subject, and no object can ever experience it. Because it is illogical to say the subject can objectify himself as an object and then see him, try to know him. We say that the eyes cannot see themselves. How do we see? So you bring about a mirror, keep it in front. Then the eyes can see the eyes through the reflection. But what is the problem here? It is not the real eye. It is an appearance eye. It is a false eye, rather false eyes. The whole figure we see in the reflected mirror is nothing but false. You cannot touch it. You cannot smell it. You can only just see, and it is not alive because there is nothing. It appears to be inside the mirror, but it is not really in the mirror. Where is it? There is a beautiful Zen koan is there. Koan means such kind of puzzle which breaks our ordinary logic. There was a Zen master and he had many disciples. And one day, 2 of these disciples were moving outside the monastery in the Himalayas, and there was a flag fluttering about in the wind. And these people have been taught some koans. It is objects of meditation which will break ordinary rules of logic and bring about intuitive understanding. So, one of the students was asked, what is moving the flag? And then he said, the flag is moving. The flag is moving. The second student, who advanced a little bit in spirituality, he said, you are completely wrong. It is the wind which is moving the flag. Without wind, the flag can never move. And they did not notice that their master, their guru, was also walking behind them. Suddenly he came from a side road and he heard their words. And he said, "You idiot, it is not the wind which is moving the flag, it is your mind which is moving the flag. The mind is the root cause, is the culprit because of which we perceive the whole universe as it were. If that mind, which Patanjali calls Chitta, can be purified, can be controlled, can be made pure, then the mind, because it is born of Sattva Guna, of the five subtle elements, therefore it is the purest instrument that is available for us, it becomes like a beautiful clean mirror without one speck of dust. As soon as it becomes that, what remains in front of it is nothing but Purusha or pure Atman." That is the meaning we are given in this 8th mantra, Chakshusa na Gruhyate, means through any sense organ. Eye is only an indication of other 4 sense organs too, the ears, the nose, the tongue and the skin. So no sense organ can ever grasp it, because if they can grasp, they are limited, they become limited, and a limited something can never be the Atman. Whatever is limited is called an object, and whatever is object is called anatma, and whatever is anatma is mithya or false, is seemingly real, not reality at all, because every object borrows the pure consciousness. An object cannot perceive itself, it must be perceived by some conscious being through that pure consciousness. So no sense organs can ever grasp. Na anyaihi devai, here deva means not the divine celestials, but here it means indriyas. In Vedantic language, div means to shine. All the 5 sense organs of knowledge, they are called devas. Why? Because the eye brings knowledge of the forms, the ear brings the knowledge of the sounds, the nose brings knowledge of the smells, the tongue brings the knowledge of the tastes, and the skin brings the knowledge of everything that is touchable, heat, cold, soft, hard, these 4. So, na anyaihi devaihi, not possible. Then, can I perform deep tapasya, intense tapasya, austerity? Can I then use these sense organs or mind to grasp that Atman? Na tapasya, not possible. Can I do this by rituals, by worshipping God? The rituals themselves will never be able to remove, never be able to reveal this Atman. But they can do one thing, they will take us to God. God will be gracious. Then through His grace, our mind will become capable of grasping. Whenever a Hindu prays to Mother Gayatri and says, "Dhiyo yonaha prachodayat," he is surrendering himself to the Divine Mother, to the universal will, and then praying, "Oh Mother, I am helpless, I am impure, my intellect is very limited, it won't be able to understand it. Will you kindly show me the way?" And what does the Divine Mother do? She will give intuition. Purified mind, intuition and pure Atman, these are all synonymous terms. The Divine Mother has given you that knowledge. That's what Sri Ramakrishna gives certificate to M. Similarly, when other priests were complaining about Sri Ramakrishna's strange behavior while he was doing puja, Madhur Babu came and he has been given special grace to understand the inner worth of Sri Ramakrishna's puja done in the state of Raga Bhakti, supreme devotion. It has nothing to do with conventional worship, rituals. First you do this, that is followed by something else, which is followed by the third one, etc. There is no order at all. What is order? It becomes disorder. What is light? It becomes darkness. What is dark becomes light. What is knowledge becomes ignorance. What is ignorance becomes knowledge in that divine place. Sheta sab ulti dhang. Everything is opposite of what we know here. In simple words, this is called intuition. The Divine Mother gives intuition. And when she, out of her boundless grace, gives us that intuition, only then man will be able to get rid of all these limited notions, and then he experiences the unlimited. I have to emphasize here, nobody can experience the unlimited. It is a paradoxical statement to say the unlimited can be experienced by the mind, because whatever is unlimited is unlimited. Whatever is experienced by the limited can never be unlimited, can only be limited. Our mind is very limited. Our buddhi, very limited. Our memory is very limited, not to speak of the sense organs. And therefore, whatever is employed to find that highest reality fails. Aprapya nivartate is impossible for mind, much less to speech. So even for mind, it has to baffled to return back. That means simply it cannot understand. Therefore, na anyai devai, na tapasa, not any amount of austerity. What does austerity do? It merely purifies the mind by removing what is called attachments, likes and dislikes, raga and dvesha. Such a mind, devoid of raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes, is called a pure mind. And only through that pure mind, and that too by God's grace, only one can become pure. Then that intuitive understanding comes, not through ordinary body, ordinary mind, ordinary buddhi, ordinary memory. No ritual can reveal that one. Then is austerity useless? Are all these efforts, sadhana, which is done only through the body, mind, is it completely useless? No. But it will take you to such a state where God's grace, or the breeze of God's grace, is always blowing. And only with the help of that breeze, one can have right understanding. Understanding, always remember, not as an object. Here is an object. First time I am seeing it, and then I experience it. I ask somebody, and that person says, this is such and such a beautiful object. That means we remain separate. That object remains separate. Let us remember again and again, whatever we experience is not we. Whatever I experience is not me. So if I experience God, that cannot be God. Rather, He is non-God, because whatever we experience is nothing but non-God or Anatman or Jagat or Prapancha, universe. So then, what is the meaning of He understands? He becomes one. He says, what I have been searching for all these years, that is what I am. Oh my God, today by thy grace, I understood I am thee and you are me. This is the only way. Jnana prasadena. This is the prasada, means by the grace. Just as we offer some food to Sri Ramakrishna and we pray to accept, and he looks at it, makes it pure. After that we consider it as a prasada. What is the characteristic of prasada? Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasya upajayate. Truly, when we take prasada, all sorts of sufferings come to an end. Because, not because the difficulties disappear, the causes of suffering disappear, but because simply we understand, I am the Atman, and what is suffering is the body, mind, and I am not the body and mind, therefore, they do not touch me. This is called Jnana Prasada. And every prasada is nothing but Jnana Prasada. Just as I give the illustration, supposing you come across some food and you offer it to God, and then you have that knowledge, Jnanam. This is offered to God. It is prasada, it is divine. In other words, simple words, we are telling this is prasada means this is none other than God Himself. Mother Annapurna herself is coming in the form of this food material to sustain me, to make me happy. So, Vishuddha Sattva, when a person, through those four spiritual sadhanas, what are those four? Truthfulness, austerity, and right means of knowledge, and brahmacharya, control over the body, mind, and practicing the presence of God, through those four, a mind becomes Vishuddha, completely pure. Shuddha means pure. Vishuddha means completely pure. Tatastu, when as soon as that happens, what happens? Sachin Sadhaka attains to the state of what Patanjali calls Samadhi. Savitarka Samadhi, Nirvitarka Samadhi. Savichara Samadhi, Nirvichara Samadhi. So, such a person is called Dhyayamanaha. He becomes one with the object of his thought. And then what happens? Tam Nishkalam Pashyate. He beholds that supreme truth which is partless, which is akhanda. Again, as I said, he perceives, he sees, means he understands. He understands means he becomes one. So what are we talking about? This mantra is telling only by God's grace it can come. But how does God's grace come? In the form of scriptural instruction and more importantly, in the form of a guru, our own guru. What does the guru stands for? Right interpretation of the scripture is called the guru. That's why it is said Shastra Pramana. Without the help of Shastra, nobody can even know that there is a God, there is an Atman. This world is not really the Atman. It is Mithya. You are not an ordinary person. You are the greatest God. All this can be known only through Shastra Pramana. The right means of having the knowledge of God can only be through Shabda Pramana, or called Shastra Pramana, are called aptavakya, various terminologies are used. What happens when a person is instructed by a sadguru in this way? Vedanta vijnana sunichitartha. This very Mundaka Upanishad is going to tell us later on that they become Vedanta, they obtain Vedanta vijnana. What is Vedanta vijnana? Aham Brahmasmi. I am that supreme reality. And how do we know? Sunishchitartha. There is absolutely no doubt about it. Through spiritual disciplines, that Hiranmaye Pare Koshe Virajam Brahmanishkalam Tat Shubhram Jyotisham Jyoti Tat Yat Atma Vido Viduhu. We have dealt with this earlier and we sing also, as I mentioned many times, that every time we are singing Namo Namo Prabhu Vakya Manatita. Mana vachana ek athar, jyotira jyoti ujjvala hridi kandara, tumi tama bhanjana har. You alone, your light alone is capable of breaking the darkness of ignorance, which is, I am not a individual soul, I am not the jivatma, I am none other than paramatma. About this beautiful commentary on this buddhi, Shankaracharya tells, the buddhi of every man is by nature pure, like a clean mirror or water, and therefore capable of self-knowledge. But being polluted by maya through attachment to external objects, it becomes unclean, like a stained mirror or like muddy water. As dirt or mud are not inherent in the mirror or the water, so the attachment and desire do not inhere in the buddhi. Thus the buddhi doesn't know the Atman, which is the inmost self of all. But when the same mind, the taint caused by attachment and desire, is removed through spiritual practices as indicated earlier, like brahmacharya, tapasya, samyajnana and satya, then that very buddhi, intellect, becomes pure, clear, serene, like a clean mirror and like clean water. Through that pure intellect, one realizes Atman. Same idea is further continued in Mantra 9. What is it telling? Esho anuratma chetasa veditavyo yasmin pranaha panchadha samvivesha pranaihi chittam sarvam otam prajanam yasmin vishuddhi vibhavati esha atma. Same beautiful idea is presented. What is the essence of this ninth mantra? Earlier he said, it is not possible to understand that Atman through the mind, means through the thought, or through the walk, to describe it through the speech, and much less any of the bodily functions. But then here he is telling, when I say it is not possible, we have to understand, you have to understand, through impure body, through impure mind, through impure buddhi, through impure memory, it is never possible. But it is absolutely possible only through a pure mind. Eshaha, this Atma, Anuhu, very, very subtle. Chetasa, Viditavya, it can be only understood, realized through a purified intellect, clean intellect. That subtle Atman is to be known by the intellect here itself, now itself, which is in the body, where the prana has entered fivefold. By this Atman, the intellects of men are pervaded, together with the senses. When this intellect is purified, that Atman shines forth. Beautiful mantra for us to be memorized. This Atma, that means me, my true nature, is Anuhu, very subtle. It is possible to understand only through a subtle intellect. Subtle intellect means a pure intellect, a clean intellect. A clean, pure intellect means it is not tainted by likes and dislikes, raga and dvesha, which means it is fixed only on God, God realization. Then it has acquired tremendous shraddha in the teachings of the scriptures. Then it has completely surrendered itself to the Sadguru. Such a mind, with the help of the scriptural teaching, as expounded through the Sadguru, he hears that truth, which we can also read by books, especially on the internet, but will never have the slightest, foggiest, true understanding, only when we surrender, through complete faith, to the scripture, through the intermediary of the Guru. Then that mind is capable of giving that knowledge. What is that knowledge? Thou art that Tattvamasi. The Guru says, thou art that. And through Dhyayamanaha, meditation, through further spiritual disciplines, man comes at the last. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate. After many lives of spiritual practice, this person comes to understand. What does he understand? Vasudevaha sarvam iti. It is only Brahman. Called here Vasudeva, that is everything. That means there is no world, there is no Ishvara, there is no me, there is no you. It is only Vasudeva is the Brahman, Vasudeva is the Jagat, Vasudeva is me, Vasudeva is everything. So, how do we know further? God, or that Atman, has become this fivefold prana. We are all alive because of prana. What is this prana? Nothing but the manifestation of only God. Panchadha, one prana, is going on working in this fivefold way. That Atman has entered, having created, tat srishtva tadeva anupravishat. Having created this world, that Atman entered into that. He is the creator, he is the Jivatma, and he is everything. That is the meaning. Panchadha. There are fivefold functions of the prana, is called panchapranas. Prana, yana, udana, samana, etc. Pranaihi. Without this prana, the chittam, the memory power, is not going to function. Again, Atman, through that prana, is enlivening this mind, this memory, this buddhi. Not only that Atman is enlivening within us everything, the mind, the body. It is also enlivening the entire universe. Sarvam otam prajanam. Everything that we see is nothing but manifestation of Brahman. Like warp and woof. See, you take the threads and then you find all the threads. What is the cloth? Nothing but threads. Only the threads are appearing crosswise, vertically and horizontally. It is called otam and protam. Warp and woof. If you remove the threads, there would be no cloth. Similarly, if you remove that Paramatma, there would be neither world, nor body, nor mind, nor sense organs, nor buddhi, nor the panchakoshas, nor the three bodies, neither, nothing will remain. But it is to convey the idea, everything, the Ishvara and Jiva and Jagat, the creator, the individual soul, and every object in this world, called world. Everything is nothing but He, as if divided Himself into three and shining. Yasmin Vishuddhe Vibhavati. So you see something, that is God. You hear something, that is God. You smell something, that is God. You taste something, that is God. You touch something, that is God. Vibhavati Esha Atma. Whatever we experience through the five sense organs, whatever we can think of, imagine, a view, different thoughts, desires, everything is nothing but that pure Atman. As we mentioned earlier, that it is not possible to understand this great grand truth excepting by the grace of God. That's why it is said, Yan manasa na manute, Yan Upanishad says, by the mind, by the impure mind, it cannot be understood. But chetasa editavyaha, through pure mind, whatever the pure mind sees, experiences, it experiences only God. That's what Sri Ramakrishna says, wherever my drishti goes, it is nothing but God. Jnana anjana vimala nayana vikshane mohajay. So that is what is meant here. That means we have nothing but God. There is the whole world is nothing but God. I am part of the world. You are part of the world. Everything is part of the world. And the world is a combination of all of us, and all of us are nothing but that pure Atman with different forms, different names, different qualities. And of course, because of Maya, we cannot understand it. When a person, through purified mind, attains to this highest truth, then what he gets, what does he get? He gets the highest bliss, he becomes mukta, attains moksha. And this is very graphically being described here in the 10th mantra, the last mantra in this particular first section of the third mundaka. Yam yam lokam manasa samvibhati vishuddha sattvaha kamayate yamsya kama tam tam lokam jayate tamsya kama tasmat atmagnyam hi archayet bhuti kamaha. Beautiful mantra. What does a person get through Brahmagnana, knowledge of Brahman? What is knowledge of Brahman? I am Brahman. What does a man get through that? We have to ask the question, what doesn't he get? He gets everything. He gets Ananta. He becomes Purna. Purnamadaha, Purnamidam. Purnat, Purnamudachyate. Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnam eva vasishyate. The man, after that realization, understands, I am that Purna, I am that Infinite, I am that Divine Lord. But graphically, this mantra is telling, whatever world a man of pure understanding envisages in his mind, and whatever desires he cherishes, that world he conquers. That means he obtains. And those desires he gets fulfilled. Therefore, let everyone who wants prosperity worship the man who knows the self. Here is a beautiful mantra which is telling, a man enjoys everything. Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati, Brahmana sarvam anandam prapnoti. At the same time, he enjoys it. This is all human language. If the, just by knowing I am Brahman, he becomes Brahman and he becomes Ananda Swarupa. Does any desire remain in such a person's mind? Absolutely no. Then what is all this description? I want to go to Swargaloka, I want to go Brahmaloka, I want to go to Pitruloka, I want to go to Vaikuntha. This is all for persons like us to make us understand. If you also realize God, you will get all your desires fulfilled. You will be eternally happy. So it is telling that whatever world a man wants to attain, a realized man wants to attain, immediately he finds himself in that loka. This is what Taittiriya also in the Bhrigu-valli, we have this beautiful description exactly meaning the same thing. And whatever desires come, they are fulfilled. But the condition is Vishuddha Sattvaha, means pure mind. Pure mind means pure Atman. Pure Atman means a realized soul. A realized soul means I am everything. So he need not go to any loka because there is no other loka other than himself. There can be nothing else other than infinity. But here is a hint. There are other people who are ignorant with unfulfilled desires. They want to go to Swargaloka, enjoy all the divine damsels or beautiful drinks, foods, or go to Brahmaloka, etc. So any person who cherishes that such kind of desires, the easiest way for such a person to obtain them, simply find out a Jivanmukta and surrender yourself, sit at his feet, surrender yourself to him, and one glance of him, Jnana Anjana, Vimala Nayana. My child, we want to go to Swargaloka, Indraloka. Yes, sir. You find yourself in Indraloka. We want to live a billion years. Yes, sir. You will live a billion years. You want to go to Brahmaloka. Yes, sir. Do you want to obtain self-knowledge? Yes, sir. By his grace, any desire, secular, spiritual, will be fulfilled. That means man becomes blessed. He becomes happiness. There remains nothing for him to desire. As Sri Ramakrishna puts, he is swimming in the ocean of bliss all the time. With this, the first section of the third mundaka has come to an end. And from our next class, we'll be taking what we call the second section of the third mundaka. Om Bhadram Karne Vishrunuyama Devaha. Bhadram Pashe Maksha Viryajatraha Stirai Rangai Stushtuvagum Sastanubihi Yashema Devahitanyadayuhu Swastina Indro Vrithashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishvavedaha Swastina Starkshyo Arishtanimihi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadatu Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti.